Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This podcast is made possible thanks to kind donations from my listeners and support from my sponsors. And today I'd like to tell you about Spoken. Spoken is a learning English system that puts an English coach in your pocket. With Spoken, you can get private English lessons through your favourite messaging apps like WeChat, Line, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger and more. Their learning English content is designed specifically to meet your needs as a learner of English. It's perfect for people who want to improve their English for work or travel or exams. And it's very convenient because you do the tasks on your phone at your own pace. And check this out. You can sign up for a free 60-minute private one-to-one lesson with a trained native English instructor, which includes a free assessment of your current English skills. Let me say that again. You can get a free 60-minute one-to-one lesson, which includes a free assessment of your current English skills, no strings attached. You can take the 1 hour, and then whether you choose to actually take some courses with Spoken is completely up to you. Spoken are also offering discounts to learners of English listening to my podcast. 20% off the first month for any plan that you take. To qualify for these offers, you need to use my URL, which is getspoken.com/LEP, or click a Spoken logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Okay, Amber and Paul are back on the podcast today, and I promise to keep this introduction as short as possible. So it's been a while since the last episode with Amber and Paul, so it's great to have them back. It's been a little bit difficult to get the three of us in a room together because we've all been busy, especially Paul, who's been doing his stand-up show and also working on a TV show and other projects. So anyway, here is Catching Up with Amber and Paul number 8. The idea behind these catching up episodes is that we just see what my friends Amber and Paul have been doing recently, and then we just see where the conversation takes us. You can expect the usual mix of us talking quite fast, going off on various tangents, and making fun of each other. That's what usually happens in these episodes, and everyone seems to enjoy that, which is great. It's the tangential trio, the pod pals, reunited again for much pod-related fun. Just to help you a little bit, here's a rundown of what we're talking about in this episode. So we're in my co-working space. This is a place where I just have a desk, and it's a nice place to work. So we recorded this in my co-working space in a meeting room. So not on the terrace or in the SkyPod this time. The co-working space is quite trendy. It looks quite cool and hipsterish, and it's empty as well. Paul looks very different. If you see the photo for this episode, if you're using the LEP app, you'll see the photo as you listen to this. You can see that Paul looks very different. His appearance has changed. So what's going on there? Why does he look different? And what's the difference? What's going on? We then talk about Paul's new TV show, which is all about stereotypes, and it's called Stereo Trip. It's a kind of road trip where he explores stereotypes in different countries. In fact, Paul first revealed this idea on this podcast. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, when he first came up with it. So Stereo Trip, the TV show. And then after that, there is some talk of stereotypes focusing on Italian people, Swiss people, German people, Swedish people, and English people, all the nationalities that he has researched in making the show. So what are the stereotypes of those places? And are they true based on the research that Paul and his team did for the TV show? Also, how is Amber's show with Sarah Donnelly going? Because everyone's a comedian, you know. How's Amber's show with Sarah Donnelly? The show, if you remember, is called Becoming Maman. It's called Becoming Maman even if you don't remember. But anyway, that's just a sort of turn of phrase. If you remember, it's called Becoming Maman, and it's about learning how to become a mum in France. And that sort of brings us onto the subject of the importance of marketing for things like comedy shows, vlogs, YouTube videos, podcasts, podcast episodes, you know, the way that the title is worded, and that's very important. And the way that, yeah, certain episode titles or comedy show titles get more success than other ones. Like, for example, how clickbait titles are more successful. So what is it that makes something go viral, and how important is the title of the show or the video? I just want to say again, when the three of us get together, we do get a bit excited and we all have things to say. And as a result, we end up speaking really quickly, talking over the top of each other and cutting each other off. So be warned, you are about to hear some quite fast speech. See if you can keep up. I hope you can. Listening several times will actually help a lot, so try doing that. Just one more thing before we begin. You might hear some beeping in the background of this episode, like beep, beep. You might hear a little bit of beeping in the background. So if you're listening to this with headphones on and you hear a bit of beeping, now that beeping might come from around you, or it might just be in the background of the recording. There was virtually no one in the co-working space at all, maybe two or three people. And one of those people was an electrician who was doing some repairs in the room next to us. So sometimes you could hear some beeping. Right, so that's it for this introduction. Let's now listen to some super fast English from the Pod Pals. And here we go.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers would be my choice. Yeah.
Dip, dibbity, dip, dip, dip. Okay. So, hello, guys. Hello, Amber.
Hi, Luke.
Hello,
hi,
Paul.
Hello. Hello.
Paul. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, good, good, good.
Good, good. Amber, can you describe the situation, please?
We are in a co-working space, your co-working space, and it is pretty cool. There are colourful chairs, there are throw cushions, there are plants, coffee machines. There's no one else. We're the only people. No one's working.
There's an electrician who's working, and there is a guy called Victor, who we can't see. I saw him come in.
Yeah.
That's it. The only people who are here.
Yeah, it's very, it's not your terrace in the sunshine.
Oh.
But it's cool to be in it. It's like a very, I don't want to call it hipstery type of co-working. Kind of? There's exposed brick, there's weird like wallpaper stuff. It's where young technological startup people would come and work.
That's
and
right.
Build a new Facebook.
They would come here if they existed, but apparently they don't because they're not here.
Yeah, it's because it's brand new though.
Yes.
I can still smell the fresh layer of paint that's just been stripped off to make it look like more exposed.
They kind of painted it and then probably just removed all the paint to make it look old and,
exactly.
and industrial.
That's exactly what happened.
Yes. I can't believe you asked the question whether we'd rather be here or in your SkyPod.
The SkyPod? Okay. I've forgotten that was...
Well, always the pod.
Considering that it's quite warm today and it's sunny in Paris for the middle of September... the current temperature, ladies and gentlemen listening, is 24 degrees Celsius, which is
summer.
It would make sense, wouldn't it, for us to be upstairs on the terrace, but sadly not. What, for two reasons. One, our flat is a complete mess because we've been tidying, which don't you find when you make a conscious effort to tidy your flat, what you really mean is let's make this place much messier.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, like everything gets incredibly chaotic and messy before it ever gets tidy. And sometimes you don't get through the messy stage. You just say, let's tidy the flat, meaning let's just turf everything out like we've just been robbed or burgled. And then it's like time to go to bed. And then it just stays like that for ages.
Yeah. And then you lose the will to live and you just think, just shove it back into boxes hide it under the bed.
Yes. Exactly.
What were we thinking?
So that's the first reason. So the flat's in that condition. And secondly, I am paying to be able to come here to this space. So I thought I'd better use it.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll tell you what, for your listeners, I'll take a photo of us and then they can see the exposed brick behind us. Get in, Amber, a bit more.
So
there
look,
we go.
The exposed brick on the wall over here. As Paul taking a photo,
and you'll see in the photo that I'm blonde. What?
Yes. So Amber, what's going on? Now, don't explain it, but just for the benefit of the listeners who obviously can't see Paul, can you describe his?
What I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I am seeing a very blonde, I mean, like, we're talking really scando blonde, all the way to the root, completely blonde. I feel like we've stepped back into the 90s. We're Slim Shady. It's crazy. And as someone who has dyed my hair for many years, because I lived through the 90s, that is quite an impressive job he's got there.
He's bleached his hair, though.
Bleached it all the colour out, and it's so blonde. Every time I see him, I can't get used to it. I'm just like, what? Otherwise, he just looks like Paul. Apart from, he doesn't look like Paul at all because he's blonde.
I've got blonde hair.
It's a bit like when, who's that French footballer, Antoine Griezmann?
Yeah.
When he bleached his hair, and well, it's in the way that it was a man bleaching his hair, it's very similar to what you've done.
yeah, I was trying to think of Slim Shady, Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
The joke that I made on stage was that I was fed up looking like Harry Potter, so I went for a bit of a Draco Malfoy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's like Harry Potter's become Draco Malfoy.
There we go.
Or you're like the Romanian football team from that World Cup that one time. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't? It was probably...
Were they all blonde?
I think it was 1994 or 1990.
Oh, yes, I
World
remember
Cup.
That. They all dyed their
Every
hair blonde.
Every single member of the team or the squad bleached their hair blonde.
Right.
And it was a nightmare for the football commentators.
Yeah, they couldn't have a clue who was who. That was amazing.
They couldn't recognise anyone.
It was really scary, especially because they were really none of them blonde at all. They all had sort of dark hair.
Yeah.
And it was really weird.
And they did quite a bad job on the bleaching. Some of them came out ginger.
It looked rough.
Yeah, I almost came out ginger.
Uh-huh.
Because the hairdresser that I went to was like, basically I did it, the context, I didn't choose this colour. Like I would have never done this naturally.
No.
We were filming part of my documentary series, which is coming out soon. Finally, because I feel like I've talked about it 5 times on this podcast since a year and a half ago when we came up with the idea. And the idea is we go around European countries, find out if the stereotypes are true or not, see the history of the stereotypes, talk to intelligent, like, sociologists. I'm using the French word there, sociologue. Sociologists. So I can't speak English. We've established that.
Yeah, we know this, Paul.
We know this. Anyway, we talk to, like, people about the history, and we also do fun stuff as well, which is the video that I sent you earlier on for the Germany episode where we made fun of them. So anyway, we thought it would be fun for the Swedish stereotype of everyone being blonde and blue-eyed that I would dye my hair blonde and blue-eyed.
Bleach your hair blonde.
Bleach it. And so I was in a hairdresser interviewing the hairdresser at the same time, because it turns out most Swedish people are not actually blonde.
What?
They dye their hair blonde.
No.
They're born blonde, but then they end up like a little bit lighter, like what I'm normally like, basically. Their hair goes that colour.
Yeah.
So then they dye their hair blonde because there's like, they want
to... Bleach it.
Dye it, bleach it, whatever.
It's bleach.
Doesn't matter. You're dyeing it.
It's taking the
You're dyeing it with bleach.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure technically
it's
that
not
works.
Even bleach though. It's just dye, because the guy hasn't poured Domestos into it.
He's removed the color from the hair. He's not added color to it.
Well, it's complicated. If you want it to look natural, because it doesn't look natural, what's going on there?
He's like a Romanian football player from Ireland.
It looks quite... It does look a bit brittle as well. I mean, that's a problem with the bleach, like a full white kind of bleach that Paul's gone for. Gets a bit brittle, you know.
Really?
You
could, does it? It can sort of fall out or something.
Well, it burnt my... Like, I was under there, like they put this plastic... He applies the dye or whatever, the bleach, whatever it is, and then he puts a plastic cover on. And then I was under that for like 2 hours, because if we'd have taken it off any earlier, I would have ended up orange. Because he was like, he was making fun of me for being ginger. I was like, I'm not fucking ginger.
My brother once decided he wanted to bleach his hair, and he was like 15 at the time,
okay.
And he was into like punk music and stuff, and he wanted to bleach his hair white. And so I was the guy given the task of doing it secretly. He didn't ask my parents, like, oh, he just did it. And I was the guy who did it, so I was the one doing it. And we didn't leave the bleach in long enough.
Oh.
So he washed it out too soon, and he came out proper ginger, like the Joker from Batman.
Oh.
Full on ginger. And there was, you know, he tried it again. He even bleached it again. It still wasn't enough. And so he had like this horrible ginger hair, which eventually did go blonde, and it grew out and it looked okay in the end. But for a while he had like this sort of Margaret Thatcher ginger hair.
Oh,
it was terrible.
God.
Yeah. Well, that's a classic mistake. Sometimes you can go ginger, sometimes green.
Yeah.
What?
Mm, because the problem is, like, if you go swimming with bleached or peroxide, classic peroxide hair, it can actually react with all the chemicals. You can get kind of all funky kind of green hair. It's nasty stuff.
I've got like special purple shampoo.
Purple?
Yeah, the shampoo's purple that I've got. It's like special, like thick purple shampoo that stops it going yellow or stops it decolor. Like I don't know. The guy gave it to me for free, so.
So you did this for the.
What's that beeping noise?
I don't know. This is a mysterious place where there is beeping.
The electrician dude?
The electrician. Oh, the only guy here who's working.
And he's stopping us from working.
And he's stopping us from working.
I can't believe it.
There's another guy working over there cleaning.
Cleaning the toilet that's been used by no one.
Cleaning a toilet door.
Just the door.
So
anyway, he can probably hear it. He can hear everything we're saying. He's just turned round as if to say, "Why are you talking about me?"
It's all because we're all looking at him through this giant glass door. And it's like, hello.
So Paul, you bleached your hair for this TV show, which is called Stereo Trip.
Stereo Trip, because it's a road trip around Europe talking about stereotypes.
Okay.
Road trip, stereotypes, Stereo Trip.
And the episode was about Sweden.
The episode was about Sweden, yeah. It was our fourth one that we filmed. We're doing six total, so it's a series of six. We've got six countries, so we started with Italy, then Germany, Switzerland, Sweden, and we've got Spain and England to film.
Yeah.
But the first one hasn't been released yet. It gets released next month in October, I think the 15th of October.
Will it be on YouTube or something?
There'll be extracts of it on YouTube. The whole thing won't be on YouTube just because it costs a lot of money to make. Mm-hmm. And TV are not like, let's pay €200,000 to make an episode. Mm-hmm. And let's just give it out for free. So they have to put it's on TV with adverts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there'll be sections of it on YouTube, on the YouTube channel, which is currently called What's Up France, which will be changed, to Paul Taylor. We're changing that channel just to my name, just because otherwise we're not going to change the name every time there's a new project.
Yeah.
So it's currently called What's Up, which was the name of the second project. It's just confusing. So we're just calling it Paul Taylor, and then I'll call my personal vlog channel Paul Taylor Vlogs.
Okay, I see. Okay, look, complicated stuff, isn't it? But okay, brilliant. So will my audience be able to watch Stereo Trip at some point?
If they have Canal Plus, yes. And if they don't, they can find a friend that does.
Okay.
And watch it that way, or watch the extract of it on YouTube.
Yeah, okay.
Or illegally do it, whatever. I encourage everyone to illegally download it somehow, just because I want more people to watch it. Like, I don't care. It's not like I'm not an employee of Canal Plus, so I want more people to watch it. So the more people watch it, rip it, upload it, do that kind of stuff, it just can't be me. I just can't upload it to my own YouTube channel.
So all those Luke's English Podcast ninjas who know how to do this kind of thing, you can infiltrate Canal Plus's database,
do it, and then send the link to Luke, and then he can share the link.
I can distribute. I could be the dealer.
You can be the dealer.
I'll be the Paul dealer. You want some Paul? I've got some really good Paul here.
I've got a bit of Paul for you. The nice real question is, though, Paul, do gentlemen prefer blondes? How has it been being blonde?
Are you getting more attention?
I don't know. It's weird. Like, normally, no, I don't know. I went through a period in the first, 2 days of having this weird confidence thing. So not weird confidence thing, but this weird thing that I should have more confidence than I do in normal life.
Because you're like, all right, I've got blonde hair now.
Yeah, well, because you see somebody with my colour hair, if you don't know them, you go, oh, he must be a prick. You know, he must be really confident in himself to have dyed his hair that colour. Mm. So clearly he's a bit of I would think he's a bit of a dick. And so I forget that I've got this hair because I don't see myself all day. Like, I see myself in the morning in the mirror, and then if I get my phone out or something. Yeah. But I don't, like, I'm obviously the same person, but it's because the day after the same day that I got my hair dyed, it was on Thursday last week. It's been a week. I'm 7 days of blonde.
7 days of blonde. It could be like a new novel that you will write.
A new TV show. Seven days of blonde.
A memoir. Yeah.
Anyway, we went out because it was the last day of filming, because we had to film it on the last day. Because basically the way the documentary is going to work, there's five stereotypes. The second one is about Swedish blondness and all that kind of stuff. But we filmed all the rest in my normal hair color so that the documentary starts with me normal.
Yes.
Then I end up being blonde, and then I go back after we finish that stereotype back to my normal hair color.
I see.
So we had to film all of that on the last day. And so on the last day, we went out for drinks, and we ended up in a club, in like a Swedish nightclub. And I had this weird feeling of people looking at me as if I should know what I was doing in a nightclub and should be able to dance and just order bottles for everyone, and because of the hair, do you know what I mean? So it's this weird thing, whether it's self inflicted or not, I feel like there's a different thing that could Like, I could get away with more things with this hair.
You're saying there's a new Paul that's waiting to come out?
Yeah, that came out for a while, and then I'm just gone back to normal because I've got used to it now, so...
The hair's got more personality than you.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
What you're saying is it's like Spider-Man 2, the bad guy from Spider-Man 2, who creates like these robotic arms which he attaches to his spine, and they sort of infect his personality. And they make him evil, obviously.
Potentially, yeah, that could be... Yeah, I haven't seen... I remember watching it, but I don't. But yeah, I feel like there's this like weird thing.
Is your hair going to make you evil? That's my question, really.
Yeah, it probably. Is. Probably. We'll see how long it lasts.
Amber, you've seen Paul already with the blonde hair.
Yep.
So have you noticed any changes in his character?
Well, I don't know if it's the hair or the means of transport, but we went out the other day to an after party on a boat. We were on a boat in an after party with a free bar, and I thought Paul was being very sensible. And got quite an early night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's true. Well, I've got a scooter now, so I scooter my way around Paris.
You've got your scooter.
So obviously I can't get absolutely hammered like I would. It's kind of good, though, because like I'm getting, you know, because if we go out, I'm usually like, oh, let's have a couple of drinks, let's have a couple more and whatever. You know, the English in me.
Yeah.
And Irish. I was like, no, I've got to drive home, so...
And of course, you had your lovely lady wife on the back. So
lovely
you need
lady
to be
wife.
Extra careful. I mean, he was pretty cruel because me and Sarah were waiting to go on stage, and you just kept telling us jokes and making us laugh, and distracting us from our set. Although I was enjoying myself. But okay. So is that evil? I don't know.
We will see. We will see, listeners. If you detect any change in Paul's general demeanour, let us know in the comments section. If he comes across as at all evil because of the hair infecting his personality.
Maybe
let us
more
know.
90s.
It's just become more 90s.
90s is so in at the moment.
Well, he is holding an iPhone in his hand. That's not very 90s, is it?
No, I was just going to send you the photo before I forget.
Okay, do send us the photo.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of things then in my mind that I'd like to talk about now. One of them is, I mean, there's the subject of stereotypes. I don't know how much you can talk about that, Paul. I mean, you've done lots of research on the topic. Right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, by being in the countries, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess researching the stereotypes and then proving them or disproving them.
Yeah.
Just tell me again which countries you've already done.
We've done Italy, Sweden, Switzerland and Germany.
Italy, Sweden, Switzerland and Germany. Okay, well, you know, what about Italy?
What about it?
Do you know, have you got much experience of Italy?
Got
Amber?
A bit of experience of Italy.
What kind of Italian experiences have you had?
To be honest, I'm not sure I can share them on the podcast.
There we go.
So it's those kinds of experiences.
Those kinds of experiences,
Did you have an Italian boyfriend?
I mean...
Or was it just a one-night stand? I don't know.
We're getting in there, aren't we?
Sorry.
I went to Italy. I went to Bologna.
Yes.
Bologna. And I thought I'd learn Italian. I just got really fat. I ate paninis and ice cream every day, and I left Paris. I was living in Paris at the time. I bought some trousers before I left. I went for like a month about that. I came back. I couldn't even get them past my knees.
Oh my god!
I've just become enormously fat from eating loads of food.
The food is good. So what are some of the stereotypes of Italy then?
Oh, that the men give you a hard time the whole time.
I mean,
they're hassling you.
Okay.
The mama, you know, the Italian mama. You've got Vespers, food, hand gestures, don't you? Lots of hands.
Gesticulating with the hands.
Gesticulating, yeah, exactly.
Okay, and so Paul, how many of those things that turn out to be true?
All of the stereotypes that we've gone everywhere are all true, but, and it's the but that's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
That's what we found, is like everyone's like, yeah, this is true, but, and that's when you get like really interesting like tidbits. So yeah, all of it's true to a certain extent.
What's the but then? It's in Italy.
Well, like the mama, like we had the stereotype that men like still live with their mums, you know, until like they're 40, which to an extent is true. And some of it is due to the economic crisis that there were, you know, there's less jobs, so it's easier to stay at home. Things are expensive. But it's also because, you know, the mama is a great cook at home, and there's just like this very woman centric. Society where the woman stays at home and looks after the whole family, while the guy's kind of useless and just goes out and works. And so it's really, you know, I mean, it felt like very typical, like, you know, from The Godfather or something like that, where it was that kind of basically that situation. Mm-hmm. So those things combined, but not every guy stays at home until he's 40, but it does happen.
Okay, all right then.
You know, same with the hand signs. They all speak with their hands.
It's true.
It is true. And the part of there's a woman who we met who, she's made the dictionary of all the hand gestures, of like the 250 hand gestures. Wow. She wrote the dictionary for it. She's a linguist at a university. And yeah, it's really interesting that you know, the language over time evolves, but the hand gestures always kind of stay the same. Mm. And so as a kid, it's easier to learn. When you're a child, before you speak, it's easier to learn the hand gestures.
There's little Italian kids going, hey, exactly. I want some food. Hey, it's
the funniest thing we saw was somebody on a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Speaking with his hands, like he had the phone in one hand, and in the other hand he was doing the Macify, you know. So it's funny. It's like the guy can't see you. You're not on FaceTime.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's good. So Italy done. We're going to race through the ones that you've researched. Switzerland. What are the stereotypes?
Switzerland, boring, precise, clean air, good chocolate, bankers, basically.
Mm-hmm. Punctual.
Punctual, mm-hmm. Watchmakers, you know, they're Protestants, aren't they?
Is that right?
The Swiss. That's why they're all in there.
Okay.
Apparently.
So?
Yeah, more or less.
But?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Switzerland, like, yeah, they're all on time. We talked about the Swiss being on time, which is fairly true. Chocolate, and funnily enough, the milk chocolate is what Switzerland's famous for. Not just chocolate, like actual milk chocolate. Mm-hmm. But it turns out it actually comes from Italy. Some Swiss guy saw it happening in Italy, and he brought it over, and he made it big in Switzerland, and that's why it's considered Swiss. Like, Swiss chocolate is milk chocolate. The cows are sacred. You know, the cows are on all the chocolate wrappers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We went to go see a guy who brings up cows in the mountains, and they fight. Like, cows fight with each other, which is cool. We tasted some of the milk. Yeah. Incredible. Wow. They're all rich bankers. Was a stereotype, which is again, there's a lot of people that work in the banking industry, but there's more people that work in hotels, restaurants, and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. People are rich, yes, for us, but for them, they're not necessarily, because the cost of living is so much higher.
Yes.
Like we spoke to a hairdresser, and the basic wage for a hairdresser is 3,500 euros a month.
Wow.
Which here is like a really good salary.
Yeah.
Whereas for there, because we went to a supermarket, compared the prices of the food and stuff, mm-hmm. And the cost of living is higher. So for them, yeah, they are on the surface more richer. But there's more richer, is that a thing?
Richer, no, it's richer.
Richer.
Lots of guns in Switzerland, though. Don't they all have guns?
Everyone's got a gun because they all do national service.
All do national service.
But they don't shoot each other like the Americans do.
No.
They've just got better air.
Yes, I think they'd probably have. Yeah, that's right.
Do they kill themselves?
I imagine so.
Higher rate of suicide?
Everyone does, don't
Maybe,
they?
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess the standard of living is pretty good over there. I wonder if the suicide rate is lower.
Well, because the country works very well, just because it's a small population. The interesting thing is, though, because there's four official languages in Switzerland.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how people can't communicate with other people from the same country. That was the fascinating thing for me. Like, you know, imagine, like, as an English person, you couldn't communicate with another English person.
Well, I mean, have you been to Newcastle?
Wait, I'm on a canny fuck and believe it.
Kawasaki?
Kawasaki, man.
Kawasaki? Hey, what brand's your scooter? I'm a Kawasaki.
The Newcastle accent.
So, yeah.
Okay, they're punctual.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
Watches. It'd be rude not to be.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like this collective thing of just being rude if you're not on time. Which France definitely doesn't have.
I agree. I am never not on time. I'm very timely. I'm like the Swiss.
Yes.
The Germans, they're very timely.
Yeah, we found that they were more like rule followers. Than
they love rules.
Like, they just love rules and they love following the rules.
Okay, so let's talk about the Germans then.
The Germans! Und Schmetterling.
What are the stereotypes of the Germans then?
Humorless, they love the rules, very rigid, you know, mm-hmm. they don't cross the lights unless it's the green man, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of thing. I mean, I think the dominant one is that they're humorless, but that kind of comes from the English, you know, they're our arch enemies, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. The English love to imagine that the Germans don't have a sense of humour, don't we?
But they do, they've got a great sense of humour, and I'm very fond of a German.
Which one?
Just one. They're very, very direct, too direct, no subtlety. Right. No shades of grey.
Yes. Yeah, I find that more, now that I've been around, I find that more with the northern countries. Like Germany, Germans come across as like nice compared to northern Europeans.
Really? I think the
northern Europeans are, like, I get that they're direct and it's like they want to tell you how it is. Like, they don't smile a lot and it's just a really weird...
What, all of them?
Well, not all of them, but I mean, we only went to Sweden, but Addie, my wife, she went to Copenhagen like a couple of weeks ago for a holiday and she had... She told me about her experience in Copenhagen before I went to Sweden. She was like, oh yeah, it, like I said hello and smiled. There's no word for please in Danish. They just don't have the word. It doesn't exist.
It's true.
So you can't say, I want a cup of coffee, please. You just have to say a cup of coffee. And that comes across really like blunt and really rude. And it kind of is if you're not, you know, but it's just like they're cold.
For them, it's not rude, but for
no,
someone...
like within themselves, they get on fine. But I was just speaking with a friend of mine who lives in Amsterdam. She's Italian, and she's been there for 5 years, and it's just like a clash of cultures where she just can't deal with them anymore.
I certainly have heard that the Dutch are very direct and quite blunt. Does that apply to the Scandinavian countries too then?
Yeah, a little bit. I think some of it's down to the language and some of it's just down to the way you're going back to the Protestant thing. Like there was a really, in the interviews that we heard about in Sweden and a bit in Germany about this whole idea of fashion, right? We were talking about fashion in Germany, that German people don't know how to dress properly.
Mm-hmm. Your socks and socks sandals.
Yeah, long socks, the sandals, the things. And even in Sweden, like a little bit, or the design in Sweden, like, you know, a lot of the people were saying that it was down to this kind of idea of religion, like Protestant versus Catholic, where in the Protestant things, like no one shows off, you can't show off, you don't say that you're better than anyone. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Catholic side of, you know, France, Spain, Italy, it's just like, hey, let's just...
Extravagant.
Exactly, yeah.
Whereas Protestant is kind of very plain and understated.
And that goes for the personalities, it goes for fashion, it goes for everything, the food. It was a really interesting thing that religiously it's made a huge difference.
That is interesting. Thing because you see that in Scandinavian design and clothing and stuff, it's kind of very sort of square almost, or sort of like these flat shapes and things like that.
Well,
it's nice. I like it myself.
It's become the new a cool thing because it was more. It's all around being more practical. It's all about being practical rather than being fashionable or good looking.
Yeah.
So Scandinavian design needs to be if your chair doesn't work as a chair, there's no point in having it.
Yeah.
Whereas
you
see some sort of, you know, some designs around the world where the chair looks incredible, but it's so uncomfortable.
So, and what are the Germans really like then?
The Germans?
I mean, can you just talk about 70 million people? Just sum them up for us, please.
Because we're in dangerous territory here of generalising, aren't we? Because I'm sure there are individual Germans who are totally un-German.
Yeah, and it's like the same everywhere, you know? It's like everyone's slightly different. I don't know, there's not...
I think what you're saying about directness is really important because, you know, this is so meaningful. Like, even please and thank you. Like, we say please and thank you differently to Americans and it's understood really differently. In some cultures, you don't say please and thank you to your family because they're like, we're all family. We don't need to say please and thank you together. Whereas, you know, with my son, I'm very much like, oh, you want some milk? What's the magic word? You know, I'm really encouraging him to say please and thank you. And directness changes your attitude to people so much. You know, Britain is famously really indirect. We don't want to sort of go forward and, you know, always like, oh, I just wanted to know, I wondered if possibly, you know, we're always going around the houses and it feels so abrupt when someone's direct. And, you know, and it's hard. So it's hard to get along with these direct peoples because they're nice, the Scandos.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's really nice. Like, everyone was amazing. But, I mean, you know, the thing is that, like, we met a you know, different group of people, whether it was, you know, sociologists, historians, or just a random person on the street. So we had like a kind of a good idea. We traveled to different cities as well. Obviously, we don't get a whole full picture. It's difficult, you know, in a week to get a whole full picture of a country. And that's, you know, the documentary. In the documentary, we're not saying, yes, this is true. This is absolutely true. All Germans eat sausages, beer and pretzels, you know.
Yeah.
We're saying they do. But the image comes from Bavaria, and why is Bavaria got why does Bavaria have the image that we have of Germans, whereas, you know, somewhere like Stuttgart, no one cares about, do you know what I mean, in terms of internationally?
Okay, so you're sort of decoding and explaining where the stereotypes come from.
Yeah, a little bit, and also just we're not there to give any truth, we're just there, I mean, we're there to have a laugh and just, like, learn new things. The idea is that the next time somebody, you know, around a dinner table is like, oh, I'm going to Sweden. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't they all love saunas and getting naked in Sweden? The person who's watched the documentary can be like, yeah, they do.
But
this is why, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you learn something and it's fun at the same time.
Yeah, that's very good. What about England? What are the stereotypes that other nations have about us?
That we say sorry, drink a lot of tea, shit weather, and that we're one or the other.
We shit weather.
Just weather comes out of our ass.
Just like, you know, talk about the weather. You know, the weather's really important. And you're either a sort of football hooligan or you're sort of James Bond. You know, you're quite sort of sophisticated. You're sort of Downton Abbey. You're somewhere between Downton Abbey. No, not between. You're one or the other.
Yeah.
Downton Abbey or a football
you're
hooligan.
You're Wayne Rooney or you're Prince William or somewhere in the middle, Prince Harry.
Prince Harry, yeah.
I suppose that's mainly it. It's like the terrible food, the bad weather, the bad teeth. The Americans think we have bad teeth.
Everyone thinks we've got bad teeth. To be fair, there is quite a lot of bad teeth in England.
Well, Addie's got this thing about English people's mouths are different to, like, specifically the women.
Yeah.
Like, she'll see an actress or someone. You know, like, if you think about, like, Helen Mirren or... Maggie Smith or anyone, and it's true, like, you see, like, even Emily Blunt, the English women have got different actresses anyway, they've got like these like pouty mouths, like with the a bit further out, like, and I never realized it until she was like, just look, and I'm like, oh yeah, and she, like, even without hearing the voice, she goes, she's English, I can tell by the shape of her mouth.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting thing, and I don't know why that is. I guess it's to do with language and how you use your tongue and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and as a kid growing up, your mouth gets formed in a certain way.
Yeah, we tend to put our mouths in different shapes in English compared to French, I suppose. Like, I've heard in French that it's more about things like the jaw moving forwards and backwards rather than in English the jaw going up and down.
Oh, interesting.
And things like that. And we have different positions for the lips and all that stuff. So, yeah, maybe it's possible that we look a bit different because of the way that we speak.
I almost want to prove her wrong.
Yeah.
But kind of not. So if people, listeners of the Lepsters here, I'd love you like comment about English mouths, not necessarily the teeth, just the mouths, the shape of the mouth and the lips.
Mm-hmm.
Is it different to other countries? And have any of you noticed?
And is it true that it's better as well?
Oh, she didn't say it's better. She just goes, it's weird.
I know. Like, I just added that as an attempt to say something funny. It didn't work. Okay, good. So that stereotype. We could branch out and talk about the other countries, but you haven't done research into those.
No, we're doing Spain, but you know. Well, I mean, yeah, it's a fun project. It's just a long, just really, really long.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year and a half that I came up with the idea.
Yeah.
And finally, the first episode is going to happen, I think it's on the 15th of October.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a year and a half later. Like, I put myself in the shoes of, like, of, you know, these actors and actresses that act in these massive movies that take 2 years to edit. And then 2 years later, they're doing the promotional rounds. They're going around, you know, at TV companies, and they're all in interviews. It's like, oh, yeah, well, how's your role as Katniss Evergreen in thing? And it's like, oh, yeah, 2 years ago, I'm now currently filming this other film that I can't talk about. But I have to put myself I can't imagine how they do it.
Difficult.
So, yeah, but I've only been working on this project for 2 years or a year and a half. Like, I'm not on another one. I mean, I am on another one, but it's just short things.
Yes,
Are you glad it's coming to an end?
Yes, it's really difficult to film. That just everything's really difficult about it.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to sit for a week in a country and interview 15 different people and ask the same questions. And after the third person, I'm like, all right, I get the answers now. Like, I'm getting where we're going. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand this, but I can't learn as I'm going when I'm there, because sometimes the last day of filming is the first thing that you'll see.
Yeah.
So I can't arrive in the documentary and be like, I've already learned all these great things about this stereotype. So I have to go in like naive at each of the interviews. And that's really tight. It's just mentally tiring because the interviews last about an hour.
Yeah.
Each person, by the time we start, you know, and that means it's an hour of setup of all the cameras and the sound and that kind of stuff. And so it's 2 hours per interview, basically. And then we go to another location and we film another 2 hours with another person. And it's just a really tiring process. It's fun. Like, we have a lot of fun. Mm. And I've got a vlog to edit, which is the last day in Sweden where I dyed my hair. So we, and it, the, like, looking back, like, it looks a lot of fun, but we argue all the time. We know each other really well. It's been two, it's the same team that we, that, that you all know that we made What the Fuck with. Just slightly reduced because we don't have the budget to send everyone out. But yeah, we just we argue all the time now because we know each other really well. So it's like a family where we just argue and we don't hold back anymore. Whereas if you're working with like a technical team that you don't know, you don't, you know, you don't tell them to fuck off as much.
Yeah, I see. Amber, any sign then over the last 20 minutes or so that Paul's hair has made him evil?
Not getting any signs of evil.
Neither am I.
Not getting any signs of evil. I mean, we did have a sign of like confidence earlier, didn't we?
Yes, when we came in.
When he waltzed around the counter and just tried to help himself to coffee.
Yeah, that's right. We came into the co-working area. There's a bar at one end with coffee machines behind it, like proper barista-style coffee. And the guy who's normally there to serve coffees wasn't there. And Paul was like, it's all right. And he just brazenly stepped forward into the
I went for it,
into bold the, as brass
right behind the bar,
and it's that brassy hair
it I is mean, isn't it
giving him the balls
to having said that I completely failed and we didn't get the coffee
no we did get the coffee it was cold so then we had to go and buy a different coffee no signs of evil
what have you been up to, Amber? You've been doing stand-up.
Doing stand-up.
And you've got your show starting up again.
Show's coming out Becoming next Thursday.
The name of the show.
Becoming Mammal.
Yeah.
Raising French Kids When You're Not Kids. With Sarah Donnelly.
When You're Not Kids.
When You're Not Kids. When You're Not French. We are... God, I can't
learning
speak.
How to become...
Learning how to become French. Learning how to become a mother. Yeah, it's going okay. It's it's not... There's so much which is about marketing, you know? Like, people look at it and they think, oh, that looks shit because it's got women in it. Me and Sarah, and it's about mothers, and they're like, oh, not for me. And I completely understand what they're saying, and yet we know this other woman in our theatre, I'm not saying any names, and she's got a good marketing strategy. Her show is full, but I would say her show is not great quality, in my opinion. Whereas I think Sarah and I have worked really hard.
Your show is really good. I've seen
rehearsing it.
I've seen your show twice now, and it's really good. It's I genuinely mean that. I'm not just saying that because you're
Thank
my
you.
Friend. It's
Thank
really,
you,
really sort of very well written and tightly performed show.
I mean, it is a marketing thing. Of course, it is. Like, it's just the way. It's the same. And I'm sure you've seen it with like your podcast.
Uh-huh.
I see it with my vlogs. Like, with if you've got a specific image and a specific title that appeals, like some of the vlogs that I don't like are the ones that get the most views.
Yeah,
because it's a catchy title. Yeah. She's obviously got a catchy title in the sense that it appeals to more people than. Yeah. Becoming Mammal. What's her title? I can't even remember. It's something about becoming a Parisian.
So I've got an example for you. I've been recently recording episodes about Alan Partridge for the podcast, right?
Right.
Amazing.
And I was thinking, what am I going to call the episode? Because I'm, you know, worried that this is going to be sort of strange for people and they won't understand it. And I was talking about that, and I was in the end, I chose a simple title, British Comedy Alan Partridge. But then I thought it probably would be more successful as an episode if I called it like the British Comedy that only Brits can understand, you know, the reasons why, like, British people hate Mr. Bean, or, you know, that sort of thing. That's the kind of thing that would definitely attract a lot more attention. But I didn't.
Well, it's a choice, you know, and I think, you know, because Sarah and I have worked so hard. We've just had rehearsal this morning, even though she's off to open for Gerard Mallet this afternoon.
Yeah, Sarah Donnelly is opening. She's performing with a very famous French comedian called Gad Elmaleh, who's now doing stand-up in English. So well done, Sarah.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, she's doing really, really well. And like, we film it, we listen to it, we redo it, we rewrite it. We see each other a lot. So I think we put a lot of work into the show, but I think simply the title does hold us back because people think, it's for mums, it's in English.
It might be because as you said, like, the show's amazing. I've not seen this other girl's show, but I can imagine it being similar. I could just, like, you see it all over the place now, like these kind of like clickbait titles, and hers is a clickbait title, and I like. Yeah, it might appeal to more people because it's not. She's a woman, but she's not necessarily saying, "Hey, this is how to be a woman in Paris" type of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas the title that's evoked with yours is like, "Hey, people who are not yet mums, come and learn how to be a non-French mum, which is almost like I think the title's great. I love the title, but again, it might be how do you say ciblé?
Targeting
like expat females who are about to give birth to French kids. That seems like the target audience,
exactly.
And they'll bring their French boyfriends along.
But actually, we think it could work for a lot. I mean, we've taken on board a lot of things. Like, you've seen the show, Luke, and Paul, you've seen the show. You both gave us really good feedback. We took it on board because it was a journey, because it's not stand-up, it's not theatre. So we're really pleased with it. But yeah, it's difficult. But that's so important. I mean, like, why does a business work or not work? Like, there are so many factors. Mm. Like, why, you know, why does anything sort of, like, hit? Like, why does something go viral? Why do people watch loads of some vlogs and not others? You know, a lot of it is about... Mm. There's so much out there. Why should I choose that? You've got to reel them in.
And it's, yeah, exactly, like a little choice of like, I'll listen to this or I'll listen to that. And often it's just like the basic sort of, you know, monkey part of our brain that reacts to 10 reasons why, you know, learners of English hate this comedy show.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just programmed to react to that sort of thing. I think it's a brilliant show. Maybe what you can do, if you do find another title, you can rebrand it, repackage it, and do it again, because there's a lot of mileage in there, I think.
I think so. We'll see. Maybe Sarah will become a superstar and she'll leave me in the dust. I don't know. But we're going through to December, so we'll see how it goes.
We will see. If anyone is in Paris, then they really must come and see the show. It's called Becoming Maman. It's at the
Beau
Saint-Martin on Thursdays at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Are all the dates open until the end of the year?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we are going to pause right there and carry on in the next episode. How's this going for you? It's nice to have Amber and Paul back on the podcast again, isn't it? As usual, I wonder how much of this you understand, because we do speak very quickly when we're together. I realise it might be difficult to follow, but hopefully that's not such a big issue, because it's just pretty enjoyable listening to the three of us just rambling on like this. Certainly the impression I get is that people out there in podcast land enjoy listening to us. You can let me know in the comments section. Also, in the comments, share your thoughts on the topics in this episode. What do you think about stereotypes? And what are the stereotypes that people have of your country? Do they have any truth in them? And why do people have those stereotypes? And where do they come from? Also, what do you think about the titles of episodes? When you listen to this podcast, do the titles make any difference to your listening choices? Let us know in the comments section, and part two will be coming your way soon. Don't forget to sign up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. This is where I put on my very serious voice. Luke's English Podcast Premium is now fully operational, and you can sign up by going to teacherluke.co.uk/premium. The way it works is basically you'll need the Luke's English Podcast app, because that's where the premium stuff is available on your phone. And you'll need to sign up at the address I just gave on my website. Just click premium and you sign up. Basically, it's like the cost of a cup of tea every month for me. Basically, is kind of what you're paying for that. And then you get access to a growing library of episodes where I'm analysing language, helping you to deal with vocabulary, grammar, pronunciation in each episode. Most of the time, I'm picking out language from previous episodes of the podcast, which is turning out to be, I think, a good idea, because it's kind of like this bank of English. The episodes represent a kind of bank of English, and I can just pull out the English that you've heard and teach it to you and explain it and really clarify it and really help you to understand it in the best possible way. And then what you can do is go back and listen to the episode again. In fact, if you've already heard that original episode, having the language picked apart could be a nice way of doing it, because, you know, you get exposed to the whole thing first of all, sort of almost on a subconscious level, as you're just trying to understand the episode. And then you use the premium one to like really uncover the language, and then you can listen to it again and it'll reaffirm and sort of strengthen all that language that you're acquiring. So yeah, there you go. That's the idea. And I've got lots of episodes coming up for premium too. All right. teacherluke.co.uk/premium. And you can get started that way. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. And I'll speak to you again in part two, which should be available pretty soon. But for now, goodbye. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.